Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain with the latest basketball season officially behind us. Let's take an overhead look at how each team is looking for next year. Some teams are already looking good while others don't have much of a team just yet. We'll go through all 11 teams so you know which ones to look out for in 2026. Fun episode this week. Let's dive right in. The plan for this week, we're going to start at the top of my list and work our way down. So the first teams I talk about, I'm the most confident in heading into next season, and my confidence will get lower the further we go down. So starting at number one, we have San Diego State. As it stands, the Aztecs are certainly the front runners heading into the 2026 season. For starters, if you haven't heard, Mountain West Freshman of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year, Magoon Gwath, withdrew from the portal, leaving at least $1 million on the table to return to the school he blossomed at. Kentucky and Michigan did all they could, but clearly Magoon Gwath is more concerned with his legacy than his checkbook. I said last week on the podcast that if Gwath returns to San Diego State, Aztec fans should throw him a parade. So now after this, it's on you guys. Also, star wing Miles Bird is testing the NBA draft waters, but he has announced that he's not going to the transfer portal. He's either going pro or coming back to San Diego State. So right there, that might be the two best returning players in the conference on one team. And there's plenty more talent on the way. You got BJ Davis, who started every game at point guard and could certainly break out as a star next year. But just in case, Brian Dutcher got an insurance policy there as well. He signed Sean Newman Jr. from Louisiana Tech, who finished third in the country with just under 8 assists a game. His efficiency is a bit spotty, but he is undeniably one of the best table setters out there. You also have Reese Waters returning from injury. Sophomores Pharaoh Compton and Taj DeJourville coming off of great freshman campaigns. Add in another transfer or two, and I think San Diego State is on the fast track to leaving the Mountain West on top in 2026. Behind them at number two, I have Boise State. Of course, their season just ended in the college basketball crown tournament in Vegas, where they lost in the semifinals to Nebraska. So unfortunately, that did mean the end of Tyson Dagenhart's incredible career. He will be missed, as well as Arvaro Cardenas, who had a great one season stint in Boise. But the nucleus is still here for 2026. Andrew Meadow established himself as a future all-conference wing. Javon Buchanan won Mountain West Sixth Man of the Year and will slide into a starting role, assuming he returns. Veteran RJ Keene and young power forward Pearson Carmichael are both talented enough to start or help off the bench. And the big man position is covered as well, with former Lehigh transfer Dominic Perelin waiting in the wings. He missed this season with a torn ACL, but he averaged 11.5 points and 6 rebounds a game, with really solid efficiency as a senior in 2024, so he has been the penciled-in Broncos starting center for the last year and a half or so. The biggest wild card in this scenario is Boise State's first transfer acquisition, and that is UCLA point guard Dylan Andrews, arguably the best portal addition the conference has made at this point. He started 61 games over the last 2 years for the Bruins, but his efficiency never rose above 40% during that time. He's a great facilitator, not the passing wunderkind that Alvaro Cardenas was, but he'll be the main distributor for the Broncos more than likely. My only real concern is with the shot taking. At UCLA, he had a tendency to shoot himself off the floor, which won't be an option for the Broncos. If Andrews can just be a little more efficient, he's a shoo-in to make an all-conference team, but if he ends up focusing more on creating his own shot off the bounce rather than creating a flow for the whole offense, it could ultimately put a ceiling on Boise State for 2026. Moving on to number three, we have Utah State. For the first time in a long time, Aggie fans will have the same head coach for the second year in a row. Congratulations are in order, guys. I'm really happy for you. Jared Calhoun will have to add some size and a point guard through the portal, but regardless, Utah State will be okay next year. Why am I so confident in that? They have Mason Falslev coming back. That's why, who I really think is the top returning player in the Mountain West. He averaged 15 points a game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a league-leading 2.3 steals a game. He does a little bit of everything, and he does it incredibly well. And keep in mind, that was all as the second option behind Ian Martinez. Imagine what he's going to do as the number one option in 2026. About half of the roster returns around Falslev, with the only holes being the ones I mentioned at the top. They lack a true big man at this point, as well as a true point guard besides Jordy Barnes. For me to go all in on Utah State next season, they gotta find quality pickups at those two positions. But after that gets sorted out, which it will, because Jared Calhoun is one one of the smartest coaches in the country. Look out for the Aggies. Next at number four, I have Colorado State. The Ali Farouk Namesh era got off to a hot start with the Rams' new head coach signing two former four-star recruits in Jace Butler from Washington and Kerry Booth from Illinois, and an absolutely lethal scorer from Marist named Josh Pascarelli. CSU will still be replacing their top five contributors, namely star Neat Clifford, so hopefully one of the two stars arriving in Fort Collins can have a similar career trajectory to him. Pascarelli is a home run addition, though. He's got a beautiful jump shot and will slide right into Jalen Lake's role on the wing. They return some pieces as well, mostly big men, so my main concern is the Rams adding a point guard at this point. They do have one freshman on the roster and another coming in, but I personally don't feel comfortable relying on them to hold that spot down, barring a crazy turn of events where Keon Evans withdraws from the portal. I think Colorado State is a point guard away from finishing near the top of the Mountain West once again. At number five, I have Nevada. Steve Alford will have to replace all five starters from this past season, with Nick Davidson off to Clemson and the other four out of eligibility. Point guard Tyler Rollison and former Evansville transfer wing Chuck Bailey III are the only returners who saw significant action, so both of them are expected to slide into starting roles. A big question was answered with the addition of Fresno State's Elijah Price, a versatile athletic power forward that has player of the year type potential if he can hit his jumpers at a higher clip. He's guaranteed to start for the Wolfpack next year, while former Portland transfer Yuto Yamanouchi Williams is a solid option off the bench behind him or starting alongside him. With seven players on the roster for next season, expect more starting level transfers to be coming to Reno, but regardless, Nevada should be primed for a rebound in 2026. Behind Nevada, we have two spots for real wild cards that you can't really get a read on at this point. At number six, I have New Mexico. Right off the bat, I want to say that New Mexico, in all likelihood, will be one of the better teams in the Mountain West next year, but as of right now, I have almost nothing to work off of. Since Richard Pitino left for Xavier and Eric Olin took the job, there are only three players who plan to suit up for the Lobos in 2026. Keep in mind, the portal changes every minute, so Olin could bump that number up in a hurry, but there's legitimately nothing for me to get a read on. Former Georgia Tech transfer Ibrahim Asako is the only player from the regular season championship winning team that isn't out of eligibility or going portaling, and honestly, I haven't been able to confirm he isn't in the portal, so who knows? Olin has brought a 2025 recruit and a defensive stopper named Chris Howell with him to Albuquerque from UC San Diego, but that's all there is right now. We'll come back to this in a few weeks. And at number seven, we have UNLV. Same deal here with the Rebels. It's too early to say whether I like what Josh Pastner is doing, though he's been checking all the right boxes so far. He's locked down several recruits who previously committed to UNLV under Kevin Kruger and convinced former four-star James Evans Jr. to withdraw from the portal. Pastner also landed his first transfer, signing Arizona big man Emmanuel Stephen. The former four-star recruit from Nigeria could be the Rebels' best player next season, especially if Jalen Bedford ends up hitting the portal, but that's about it for the roster. And you may have noticed, outside of Bedford, the sixth man, there's no proven production here yet. Hopefully that concern is addressed over the coming weeks in the portal, but if Pastner keeps the theme of youth going, I'm not sure that's going to be the best way to win in the Mountain West. At number eight, I have Wyoming right now. Sundance Wicks did a solid job in year one, all things considered. It wasn't a great season by any means, but he's clearly establishing a culture in Laramie. Of course, losing Obi Ogbeam to Baylor stings, along with five other players to the portal, but a few building blocks do remain. Former transfers Abu Magasa from St. Louis and Matija Belitz from UC Santa Barbara showed flashes throughout the season, giving me hope that they can start for the Cowboys next season. Nothing is set in stone after them, so Coach Wicks will be busy in the portal once again this offseason. He's already added an intriguing young point guard in Demarion Dennis from Texas A&M Corpus Christi, along with the new conference leader for best name in JUCO power forward Buddy Hammer Jr. I mean, come on, how great is that? I wouldn't expect him to find the diamond in the rough like he did last year with Obi Ogbeam at the D2 level, but I trust him to keep Wyoming moving in the right direction for 2026. At number nine, we have San Jose State. Tim Miles led his squad to the NIT this year, but lost two starters to the portal and the guy who should have won Sixth Man of the Year in Latrell Davis right after. The only contributors from this past season returning are Jermaine Washington, who has the potential to take this team to new heights. He's that kind of talent. And Cedric Ngannou, who was a solid big man off the bench. San Jose State will have to add a lot of production in the portal to be competitive in 2026, especially in the front court. Of their 9 players on the roster for next year, only one is above 6'6". And bringing up the rear, we have the expected 2 teams taking up the final 2 spots. At number 10, I have Air Force. Of course, they are building off of a 4-28 record, obviously not very good, and they are going to be replacing Ethan Taylor, who was their leading scorer over the last 2 seasons. That being said, the Falcons are returning 4 of their top 6 contributors, and they do have 4 out of their 5 starters set for next year. Kyle Marshall's going to be their point guard. He had a really solid year as a freshman. Small forward Luke Kearney had his ups and downs, but finished the year as the Falcons' second leading scorer. Caleb Walker emerged as a consistent big man throughout the year. He'll probably be their starting power forward. And at center, Wesley Selahusky had a decent sophomore season and can be a nightmare to cover if he takes a leap next year. Of course, for Air Force to be competitive next year, someone has to step up at the 2. They're going to need somebody to be their go-to scoring option, and it doesn't really seem like they have that right now unless Selahusky ends up growing into that role for 2026. So as of right now, Air Force kind of stuck in the same spot unless somebody really emerges as a star at that shooting guard spot. And last but not least, we have Fresno State at number 11. Well, as we've discussed before, Vance Wahlberg's first season at the helm didn't go according to plan. With 6 wins, a gambling scandal, and the worst season in program history in the rear view, the Bulldogs are essentially starting from scratch once again. By my count, they have 5 players currently on their roster for next season, only one of them seeing the floor this year. That's former Green Bay transfer David Douglas Jr., who played off the bench in 6 games before his season ended due to injury. Like last year, Fresno State fans may have 5 fresh faces in the starting lineup when opening night comes around. The only advantage that Wahlberg and co. have this offseason as opposed to his first one is time. He took the job last year a month and change into the process, meaning half of the players in the portal were already gone. At least this time, they'll have some more choices to build a competitive roster as they turn their sights towards the Pac-12 in mid-2026. That is it for this week's episode of the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We've got plenty of action coming down the pipeline for the next few months, so get ready for that. Also, our Mountain West College basketball transfer tracker is out now, so you can find a link to the constantly updating list of portal entries in the description on your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. Keep your hiking boots close because this offseason is just getting rolling. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.